Today, and then I think, did the kids go out? Because they were supposed to come out right now. Did the kids go for children's church? Okay, all right. So today, just a little bit of a disclaimer today. It is Vision Sunday. So Vision Sundays are different than a little bit of what I do on a little bit different than on a typical preaching Sunday. So this is Vision Sunday. And so I am praying that you will... And there is a reason why I'm leaning that on there. Okay, so I pray that you have been praying over this. And we do this every year. Been doing it for quite some time. We talk and pray. And so there's a lot going on in this week and through this year. And so we had a great year in 2025 in many areas, some things that we completed. And on your, on this little piece here that has the growth on it, if you got that, on the back there is a QR code there piece. I think that's what they call them. You can snap that and you can get the entire book. It says you can just look for the annual report. You can scan this and you can get the book. Instead of us printing out a whole bunch of books, which gets costly, you can look at that and have a digital copy yourself. And there's some really great things in there. And so when you get it, it should, I think, look like this. So that's what I'm using today. So anyway, we are a church that does pray and fast, and we're trying to put more prayer into, emphasis into what we do. And but our prayer and fasting is a big part of our Vision Sunday. And today is Vision Sunday. So we will share some things about what's going to be happening in the future. But I want you to open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Sometimes in churches there are things that, you know, sometimes in... if you were to go out to a car lot and I said, oh, there's a car lot and you're looking for a car, some of you would run to, if you were going to get a brand new car, some of you would run to a Ford dealership. Yeah? Any Fords? Oh my gosh. Okay. Yep. You're hiding in the back. All right. Anybody a Chevy person? Yeah, Chevy. Oh my gosh. Have we all went to Toyotas or what? How about your Toyota people? There they go. Yep, a few. The rest of you just might ride your bicycle because I don't know what else there is. The Mitsubishi, I don't even know if they, yeah. What else do we have? We have Toyota, Chevys, and we have Fords, and we have Chrysler. Those rust buckets, yep, from the 80s, 70s, yeah, yeah. The rust buckets makes about 110,000 miles and falls apart right down the road, right? And so we have Subarus, all the safety of all the vehicles, right? They all have their thing, right? Back in the 80s, 70s, Chevys would run. It seemed like they would run forever, but they were rust buckets. You know, and so it's like going to a car. Sometimes we go to a church like that. We pick and choose what kind of churches we like. And I get it. I do get it. There's some flavor with it. But some of us would even know that we could even get a good car and go, I will die before I buy a Ford. You know, I will die before I, even though it's a great vehicle, we would refuse to go. I just want to remind you, we are Southern Baptist by choice, but I want to remind you there's a lot of great Christians are out there serving in other churches. There are some other good denominations. We may not agree on everything, but Jesus is the focal point. Amen? Amen. All right. So with all of that, what we're getting to a point is there's a problem. There's a problem in this church of Corinth. We've been sticking in this church of Corinth. The first letter a couple weeks ago, the second letter last week. Now we're back into the first letter. And Paul is really trying to put forth some good things in this church. He started it. He leaves and goes to other ministries, comes back. Or he's somewhere and he hears words. And they're kind of in a hot mess. And this is the problem that they're dealing with today. That we're going to talk about today. So in chapter 3, we see that there is people beginning to pick and choose. Okay? They're picking and choosing who they want. Let me just... I'm just going to start there in verse 1. It's not my pivotal point, but I think it gives us some reference. He says, for my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. So what he's saying, y'all not mature enough to handle what I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway because you need to learn. That's what he's saying. He says, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. Now I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready because you are still worldly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not worldly and behaving like mere humans? For whenever someone says, I belong to Paul, and another says, I belong to Apollos, aren't you not acting like mere simple humans? Father, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit wants us to learn today. This is the church you've given to us to serve. Give us the Spirit for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this, we see here that Paul is saying, listen, I want to talk to you as mature Christians, but you're still babies in Christ. Listen, when you come to Jesus Christ, you are lost and you come to Jesus. When you got saved, you did not jump from one and just being a grown-up Christian. No, you were a baby in Christ. We were all Christian. All Christians start as being a baby in Christ. That's what's supposed to happen. But what also is supposed to happen is we're supposed to grow up, become young children in Christ, become young teenagers and young adults, and become more spiritually sound and solid and grow. And he's saying, "You got a problem right here. We have a problem here. Here's what you're saying, people. I belong to the Paulos crowd. I belong to the Paul crowd." Basically, what it would be saying is, listen, I belong to Phil's side. I want to go when Phil's preaching. No, I want to go only when Jimmy's preaching. I only want to go into that one Sunday school class because it's the only one that, and I get it. I get you, like maybe you like a flavor or something. But listen, don't let the flesh get in there. You attend those, you are supporting them people and others around you. But it is, if God's speaking through that person, don't walk away because it's not your favorite one. I'm not going to be here forever. And the truth of it is, neither are you. But what's going to happen if I live? It's been God's already, right? It's already God's. But this is causing a problem. Well, I only want to be a part of Apollos. You know what that is? I want to be a part of Paul. Division is beginning to happen. Division is beginning to happen. And Paul is calling it out. Now, I will say sometimes when someone is, whether Phil's preaching or I'm preaching, you might relate a little more. Or when you're in a class, you might relate a little bit more, but that doesn't mean you're not going to get something out of all the people that are preaching and teaching and all of those things. But then he moves into verse 5. He says this, what then is Apollos, right? What is Apollos? What is Paul? What is it? He says, they are servants through whom you believed. And each has a role the Lord has given him. Okay? So each has a role. And what we see here is he's saying, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? He's talking about himself. Who are these guys? And then he gets to this piece here. He says, each has a role. Each has a role. He says, I planted. Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered. We both had a role, he says. But he says, only God who gives the growth. It is God who gives the growth. So whoever plants and whoever waters, they got their roles, but really it's only God who gives the growth. And that's what they were looking for, growth. So when they're only picking Paul's side, they're not growing. They're only getting the seed side of it, okay, the planting side of it. If you only pick Apollos, you're only getting the water, but there's no seed. What are you watering? Okay, so it takes both of these guys. It takes both for it to grow. For what to grow? For the church to grow, for the people to grow spiritually, to grow in their knowledge of the Lord, to grow as Christians on how they live their life. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. They are one together. Paul and Apollos are one together. We are one together. But it also says, though, each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So there is a little bit of peace here that if I'm a waterer and I'm a planter, you're planting, you're watering. There is that you have responsibilities, and God rewards us individually, but also collectively. He says, for in verse 9, for we are God's co-workers. And you are God's field, God's building. He's saying, allow Apollos to work in the church. What Paul was saying is, listen, the whole group of the people, he said, we are co-workers together. And he says, you are God's field and God's building. And they're wanting to work together within the church. And they're doing all of those things together. And so we see that that's where we are trying to work through. I don't think there's a bunch of dissension or division on who's following, you know, me or Phil or whatever it may be. But however, we know that there is a key piece in this piece that I want to work on with us today. And it goes back to verse 6. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Folks, I want to tell you, we have planted a lot here. And we have watered a lot over the years. And sometimes it just seems like the growth is not what we want to see sometimes. Or the growth is, it grows a little bit and then it gets stunted for a minute and it stops. And it's kind of like in our house, my wife has this kind of like this shelving unit in the back room. And it's got plants on it. And some of it's by the sun. Some of it don't need sun. And they're all different. As long as the cats don't tip them over, they have a fighting chance. And so you're trying to water them. You're trying to keep them all. And then you go back and this one's dry. This one's overwatered, whatever it may be. Well, I was just telling on Carla right now. But anyway, it's like, oh my gosh. It's like they can grow. They stop growing. You got to throw one away. But if she stops working on it, then there is no plants at all. And some plants are hard to work with, and other ones are easier. Sometimes they don't grow like you want them to grow, and sometimes they grow so much you gotta cut it. You gotta cut a piece out, and you gotta take a partial piece and plant into another pot so you get another growth, so you get another plant. And so here at New Life, we have been doing that for such a long time. We continue to keep planting, and we keep continuing to water. And our growth is been mediocre over the years. We're celebrating 25 years this year. 25 years. It's really a great accomplishment. I know we are a transient church to a point, but that's not really the total answer. Some of the answer is we need to mature a little more, honestly. So we look at it on your, if you have it open in your little phone book, you can see, or your phone book, your little book here. You know why God allows you to trip up in your words sometimes? Just to keep you humble. Keep you humble, right? All right, so this year, our average attendance was 106. 2025 was 106. The prior year was 109. Now I'm going to tell you some numbers that are going to sound kind of good, but really they're not as great as we may think that they are, because in the last couple of months, we've just been going down. Here's another one. Our Sunday morning worship service is 106 for 2005, or 2025. Our Wednesday nights is 59. Which is probably the highest in the association. Most are doing 15 to 20, 25. There might be a few that might be up there around 40, but 59 is really high. Our life groups, which is our Sunday school groups, is about 43. Some of you attend. We have four adult classes So for adult classes, there's room for more. That's what I'm saying. There's room for more. Typical before COVID, I don't even like to say the word COVID, but COVID before COVID, the typical Baptist church I think was running. They can run about 65 to 70% of their normal Sunday service would be in life group class beforehand. So they were about 60, 70%. We're not even doing 50%. We're about 40%. We continue to try to strive and get our kids is like 10, our children's church is 10, and our nursery is like 6. We're starting to get more babies, which is an amazing piece. I love that. Kids, that's good too. There's a couple of numbers that bother me a little bit, but I need to share with you why it bothers me. So we had over 97 plus, about 100 visitors in 2025. 100 visitors in 2025. Yet we went down in our attendance from 2025 from 2024. So we have to work on trying to figure out how to assimilate visitors a little better. But my question is, do you want visitors? That's a question. You want somebody sitting next to you? Okay. We had 100, we've had almost 100 visitors come through. And we lost about 30 people last year. In 2025, we had about 30 people that left the church. I'll say that, some of them were all different types of reasons. And a couple of them did go off and start a church plant, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And hopefully they'll come in and give a report because some really good things are happening for them. But we had about 30 people that left. Most of those people, some of them people are not even going to church anywhere. For whatever reason, it is them. We have an immature problem, not just here at New Life, but all churches have an immature problem. Most people will say they go to church. So let me just share. The fastest growing people that will come to church right now is Gen Z. Okay. And who's here in the Gen Z? Just lift your hands up. Yep. Gen Z. Come on, you young people. Lift it up. Lift it up so we can see. Gen Zs. Okay. Gen Zs. You don't even know what you're in. Okay. Bob, you're not Gen Z. Okay. Yeah. No. Sorry about that. You're probably a boomer. Yeah. Gen Z is the fastest growing, is the group that's growing the church the fastest. At one point, I think it's 1.9 times a month. Generally, maybe, they're almost getting to church twice a month. Almost! They're just one fret of getting to church twice a month. So if they're the fastest going to church right now, what does that say about Gen X? Who's the Gen Xers? Come on, Jeremy, Carla, you're a Gen Xer. Gen Xers, you were born in the 60s, right? Late 60s. Yes, I gotcha. It's better than our group. And the boomers, millennials, all them groups. What I'm saying is the Gen Z is the fastest group. That group is coming to church more at 1.9. What is that saying about the rest of us? We can't even get to church 1.9. They're beating us at 1.9. That's not good. When attendance of a church becomes normal to come once a month, is that really your church? Or is that, I got to go and get my drive-through with God for a minute and I feel better about myself. I'm good to go. I filled up my tank for a month. How many of y'all know that you need church every week? Come on now. Don't be ashamed. We lift our hands up here at the end of the service, right? That's the same hand you throw up there at the end of the service. It's okay. How many of y'all know that you need to, that you feel better when you, and you feel stronger when you go to church every week? Yeah. Great. Let me throw a curveball. How many of y'all feel good about going to church on Wednesday night? Yeah, that feels good. Wednesday night feels good. There y'all are. Yes. I love Wednesday nights. We've been criticized by saying we talk too much about Jesus here. I'm not going to say who it is. Pretty big organization. Christian organization. But we talk too much about Jesus here. Well, I think, if anything, we need to keep talking more about Jesus here. I think we need to put him in the front end. He needs to be it all. This is his ministry. This is his work here. Last year we did do some amazing things that God allowed us to do. You're sitting in them right now. Last year was a big rehab last year. You're sitting in the chairs right here, right now. A lot of work. Appreciate those who came in. That carpet's brand new. And what did we do at the Christmas Eve? Candlelight service. We dropped wax everywhere. But you know what? Thank you, Phil, for cleaning it up. Like I said, this is a different type of service. I'm kind of talking to you as your pastor today. The stage, flooring is new. It's hard work, but if it starts splitting, don't blame me, right? I did a lot of that. That wall got painted 4 times. Right, Brittany? Wherever you are? Everybody? Phil? That thing got painted forever. This got painted. Got some new banners. Love that theme. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Love that verse. Got a lot that's done. Got new light. Once in a while it flickers. Reminds us we're in a 100-year-old building. Yeah, we look around and we go, wow. Hey, we got some glass back here. Finally! Our baptism's safe. Don't tell the insurance company. We got the glass up. Yes. I remember that up in the corner. That was hard to paint up there. Don't look too close. You'll see flaws. We did the ceiling. Oh, well, that was good. New cone lights, cones, whatever you call them. Those are nice. The walls all got painted. That balcony rail piece got painted. And now we're still trying to finish it up. The doors, painted the doors, the plates on the doors. It's been really good. Looks good, doesn't it? God did that, yeah. It looks really good. It allows more seating. I'm not tired of it. I think it looks great. It looks good. Across the street, some great things happened over there. We actually, in that old building that had a boiler system, no gas lines or anything. That's why we left, and God brought us here. But now we have a gas line running through it. We have one of our furnaces up and running. That's awesome. Some electrical work over there, some plumbing work over there, some gutter work over there. Got some new glass doors over there. And we're not done, but some amazing things got done over there. Yeah, we flipped the houses from the men, from one house to two houses, and from women's home, two houses to one house. And right now, God's just showing it was the perfect timing for it. It was the perfect timing for it. 6 baptisms, I think. I wasn't very happy with that, but Phil tries to nudge me and encourage me and say, hey, you know, we did do a lot of building stuff this year. That's right. That is true. That is true. But, you know, if you get 6 baptisms, you want 7. You get 70, you want 71. Is that right? Because people are important to God. And we're going to keep doing that. So we had a lot of things that happened over the years. Our finances in our church was really strong at the beginning of last year, if I remember right. Right now, they're not very strong. Matter of fact, we're very weak in our finances right now on the church side. Ministry side is doing pretty decent, but that's what happens in January. It's a lot of work in November and December. We met the goals that we had. The goal was $125,000. Savannah, what did we end up with? You sent it and I forgot. 135, 138, something like that. So our goal was, we went over it. So God met the goal. And that was great. It was amazing. God, this is what I know. God pays his bills. Yeah, God pays his bills. So I want to share with you today because it does really talk about that God is... It really talks in here that Paul is really saying, listen, Paul's taking the humility side, he's taking the godly side, he's saying, listen, it's not about me, it's not about Apollos, it is about God, but we have to do the work. And Paul says, I planted, I did it, I planted. But if you plant something, it doesn't mean it's going to grow. And you plant something, the next thing you do is you start watering it. Because why did you plant something? Why are you watering something? Because you want something to grow. But here it says that God gives the growth. I'm so happy that God is the one that gives the growth. That we don't get to take credit for it. But we do plant and we do water. And God does see our work. And he does reward us in our day of coming. He will reward us for our day and our labor. He will do that. But I want to share some things. So we are going to be starting a prayer and fasting time starting tonight. Now we are going to ask the church we're going to ask the church to fast tonight at 6 o'clock. If you can do it, 6 o'clock tonight to 6 o'clock tomorrow night. I'm making it very easy. Those 5-day fasts that we used to do, they were hard. And we're not going there right now. We're going to stay with a 1-day fast for now. And we're all going to try to do that as a church. Some of you health-wise cannot do that, and I understand that. Do not do it if you can't do that. It's okay. Find something else. Fast in a way that gives you more opportunity to seek the Lord. So a time of prayer. We're going to talk about these times of prayer, but it is going to start at 6 p.m. and we'll go to 6 p.m. tomorrow night. But we're going to continue to pray all week long until Friday at 6 p.m. And I'm going to ask you that if you could take, you don't have to take full days after that. If you say, for the rest of the week, I'm just going to fast at lunchtime, do it. And maybe you're going to say, I'm going to fast maybe just on Tuesday, or I'm going to fast on Thursday for 12 hours. Just please pick something else one more time to fast, even if it's just one meal. Okay? I want to cover the whole week. We're going to cover the whole week with prayer. You have your prayer sheet right here. You see it? These are the things that we are praying and fasting for. Okay? I'm going to go over these, but I'm going to say it one more time. But I want to get, time is ticking, but I'm just want to share with you the things and why we are going to pray and fast over these things. So we're going to start with the ministries first, because I want to end with the church. In the ministries, this is the first time ever we've done a two-year vision day. 2 years. Okay? Alright, so we'll be bringing these up again next year. Something may have already happened, and God will put something else in. But for New Life Ministries, number one is a $1.5 million for the ministries in 2 years. Now that sounds like a lot, because it is a lot. But even if you're a millionaire, $1.5 may not be a lot. But even if you don't have a lot, $100 can be a lot. Amen? If you got two bills and they're both $500 and you got just $500, $1,000 is a lot, right? It's a lot. And 1.5 is definitely a lot for New Life. Okay, our budget for the ministries that we voted on back in November, that the church voted, and the staff and all that, was $530,000. We're seeking for the next 2 years, we're looking for both years to be funded plus extra, because we have to do some renovations and there's a couple of positions that we're going to have to put in. So $1.5 million, will you partner with me in praying and fasting over that this week? Okay. The second one, I'm not making a lot of them this time, so the ministry has one more. It is the completion in 2 years. I know it's pushing it, completion of the Life Center across the street. Some of you park there. If you're driving around the church trying to find a parking spot, that old church across the street, we do own that. You can park over there around it on the street. That's where I park, me and Carla park, or you can park in the parking lot. We own that too. And so here we're asking that God will allow us to do that. In the first year, we want to be able to finish the offices so we can kind of get moving on the Christian coaching and Christian counseling department. And then the following year, we want to open up an event center. We want to be able to do some pastoral conferences. We want to be able to do some teaching conferences and some Christian conferences, marriage conferences, single conferences. And we want to do some Christian concerts where there's bluegrass. Jerry, you would like that. Bluegrass, right? Bluegrass Christian or country gospel or even rap gospel or rock gospel, whatever it is. It just throws the name of Jesus up. And it's a place where we're always going to do this one thing. After all of our events, we'll have someone that will always do this. We'll challenge people that are there. What is your next step with Jesus? If you don't know him, you need to know him. If your next step with Jesus is to learn more, it's to learn more, to find a church. If it's us, it's us. If it's another place, it's another place. What is your next step with Jesus? Maybe it is to get your life back in line. Whatever it may be, we're going to be challenged. It's going to be a place that's going to challenge people that we don't even know. Amen? And so that is the two things. Will you pray and fast for that as well, for the completion of the Life Center? I heard one amen. I see a lot of shaking heads. Y'all were much more positive on the $1.5 million than you were on the Life Center. We good on the Life Center? Listen, Moses would stand before the people and say, we're going, right? We're going, right? Yep, God already told us to go. Yes, we're going to go. All right, so that is very simple. There's our two big pieces for the New Life Ministries in the next 24 months. And folks, I'm going to tell you need to be a part of it, because there's days we're going to have work days across the street. Mission teams can't do it all. There's days we're going to need some help. And since we're doing it this way, here it is. Brittany is here. Brittany is not here. Brittany is teaching, right? Brittany is teaching Children's Church. This is the coldest night. This is the coldest walk. Some of you have been part of the coldest walk. You need to be a part of that. If you can't contribute, that's okay. We need you to be a walker. She has a goal this year of having 75 walkers. Right now, I think she has 20. This thing's going off in about a month. We need you to do it. We need you to participate. Whose church is, is this your church? Yeah. This is New Life Ministries, the ministries of this church? Yeah, this is something that's happening. More of us should be going than less of us. Listen, your Christian walk is not all about you. When you understand the call on your life and what you give to God and what God's given to you, you'll understand. No, listen, you may not, and this is a walk. It's about a mile walk, right? Some of us could use some cool air, a little bit of exercise. If you can't do it, it's okay. Huh?
Volunteer.
You can stand at a corner and tell people to go that way. Go that way. Because we want them to start here and go around all the houses, go across, see the Life Center. They're not going in anywhere. They're walking by. There's people pointing. And you'll walk all the way up to Division Road, I think. Take a left, come back down Jefferson or something, and come back and go back to the meal ministry, and they'll have food there. And there'll be people that you don't know. And listen, if I'm not mistaken, I think the police department is looking into being part of this. And how dare they outshine us and get more people, officers, than we do on their days off. Now, that's my pledge to challenge you. And right after church, I'm just going to leave these right here. When you come up, if you give today, if you don't, just come up and grab one. Take it back and do it. Or if you don't, just say, hey, I want to volunteer. Find Brittany Shoemaker. She'll get you to volunteer. Listen, we need to show up more than we've been showing up, folks. And sometimes I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, we need you to show up. Sometimes I feel like he's saying, I'll show up when you show up. Okay? So that's the ministry side. We good on the ministry side? Come on now, amen. We in Baptist Church, amen? Come on, there we go. Man. Y'all just need to pick it up and go down south to Mississippi Church and just I'm just saying. It might sound a little different. It may sound a little different, a little southern, but it's good. Now we're going to move to the church. Ministries don't exist without the church. God birthed the ministries out of the church. But you know God had a plan for these ministries before we even were here? And God was patient and says, I got a church that's going to do all these things. And God kept it close to himself. And he birthed New Life Fellowship. And he waited 1 year. He waited 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And he says, now I'm going to share with them what they're going to do. In 2007, he gave us right there. The very next year, he gave us the soup kitchen, the meal ministry. But he held the others to his heart and to his chest. And he waited 6 more years. Because God controls time. And he's patient. And he waited 6 more years before we had our first transitional house. All I know is if you let God be God and you allow and you walk in his patience and you be faithful, he blesses. Doesn't he? And here we go. We have 3 things we're going to pray and fast for here in 2026 for the church. Number one is the sanctuary renovations. We got to finish this. We started it. We got to finish it. This takes a long time to get this done. We are not a wealthy church, and we had to do things differently. And we waited, and we did this. We're not done. So we have to finish the balconies up there. We have to finish the balconies up there. And the other thing, the 2 costly things that we're going to have to work with is one, you see that glass rail right there? Isn't that nice right there around the back? We want to bring that all the way around the top. Because the problem is if we just put 1 row of seating there, the back rows can't see because of that wall's there. And the second part is, so we want to put that glass wall, that glass partition all the way around. And then that wall, that room back there where we go and pray back there before service, right there's a double door, as you guys know where it is. It's actually on Franklin Street right there on the corner where the cornerstone is of the church. That old door right there, we're afraid to even open that door. It's going to fall off the hinges sometimes. It's just so old. This is a 100-year-old building. We need to put glass doors there. So on Sundays, we're not just using this door. We're not just using the ramp door, but we're also able to use this door. Because a lot of you are starting to park on the street here and across the street, and this would be an easy way to come in. You know what that does? That means we need more greeters. Yeah. Ronnie and Alicia can't do without all that. So, that's something that we need to finish. We're getting really close, amen? So can we pray and fast for that? Are you willing to agree to pray and fast for that? Listen, I'm not going on this journey by myself this year. We're going on this thing together, right? We're going to go on this thing together, all right? So we're going to pray and fast for the sanctuary renovations, right? I won't let you in my mind what's next, but we just need to finish this, okay? The second one, we have three, is 30 baptisms in 2 years. Baptisms is not something to brag on. Baptism is only that you are planting seeds, you're watering, you're sharing the gospel, and people are getting baptized. 2 years ago, we asked the Lord to give us 20 baptisms. That year, He gave us 23. It was really good, yeah. And last year we wanted to do it again, but he only gave us 6. But I think God has reasons for certain things. You know, bamboo doesn't grow as fast as corn. Corn doesn't grow as fast as something else. We're in a different year and a different time. But the 30 baptisms, we'll find a way to excite those. Remember, a few years before that, we had the bulbs. And we did that, and 25 baptisms in 2 years, and we had the bulbs lying across. It got baptized, they turned the bulb, and God did it on the very last month. Wasn't that amazing? He waited and showed us on the very last month, the 25 baptisms in 2 years. Now we're asking God to give us 30 baptisms in 2 years. He gave us 23 just recently in 1 year. So we don't do the growth on that. God does, but we can plant and we can water. And I want to share with you what that looks like at the end of all of that. One of the biggest things we're going to ask God for is this. I asked you a question. Do you want this church to grow? Do you want somebody sitting next to you during church service? Right now, because we took out the pews, now actually somebody could sit there and there and there. And so in pews, we kind of took a lot more space. And I think Phil told me there's like 201 seats. I'm guessing 201, I think it was. 201 seats right here. And a typical church is that you can only fill a church up about 70 to 80% in America before it fills full. And so this next piece here, it's 1% of the population of the city of Huntington. What does that mean? That means we're going to pray and fast that God is going to grow this place. But for this place to grow, you have to grow as a Christian. Because we're going to need more people to step up in different places. 1% of the growth and 1% of the population in the city of Huntington is not a bragging piece. It's that we want to offer that back to God. We want to offer our church, when we hit that, we want to offer God that worship service back to God. We've been close a few times, 166, I think maybe 168 or something. These were Easter services. But again, we want to, that's 170, 100, I think really down to it, I think it's 171 people that would be a part. Not just attenders and members, people that would come once a month, but I'm talking about if we can get an average, we know that we can hit that 170 several times in a year, we have done what we needed to do on the planting and the watering. But that's only the population of the city. Now we know people come from the other parts of the counties and other cities, but we also got people in the Huntington that go to other places as well. So we're just using that number, and we're going to pray that God will allow us to do that. But we have to do the planting and we have to do the watering. What does that mean for us? That means one, we got to learn how to share the gospel. So that's going to be up and coming in the spring. How do I invite and how do I share the gospel? How do I share the gospel to someone? You start sharing the gospel with someone, God will start revealing people lost in your life, in your world, in your atmosphere, and you'll be leading people to Christ. That sounds scary, but it's really not that scary. So we're going to share how to share the gospel and how to pray for lost people. It'd be amazing that we have not a seating problem, not a parking problem. It's really a spiritual problem. God can make seats, you know, He's putting seats, He's preparing seats for a crowd. He's given us opportunities to park in other parking lots. He's setting us up. But if there's nothing planted and nothing watered, nothing will grow. We have to do the first step. So part of that is now is to do the prayer and fasting for the population of this community, that we will be able to reach 1% of the community of this city will come to New Life, to church. It's not bragging rights. It's we're offering that back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is a great giver. And that's stewardship. Where much is given, much is acquired. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. And God, who He trusts with things, there is a require. You will be required to show with what He's given to you. But what He's been entrusted with you, when you've been faithful, He'll require more from you. Yeah. God has been faithful to New Life. He's always been faithful to New Life. So today we are praying and fasting for these things. But the scripture says this, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. We are preparing ourselves this week to pray for these things, to fast for these things. We're asking God to intervene in New Life Fellowship in a way that we cannot on our own. I cannot make 170 people here. I cannot come up, even we cannot come up with $1.5 million. I don't see that in the room. But I do see that in the room. I see that in the room with Him. Because where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst. So I know He's here today. I know He dwells inside of me, just as He dwells inside of Phil, and He dwells inside of Brian and Kelly. He is here today, encouraging us to move and take big steps of faith toward Him. And He'll reveal Himself. It's funny how God becomes more detailed the closer you get to Him. But the more you fade from Him, it just begins to be a blurred image. You have the book online. You have the book in your phone. You can get it. Now, you've had the challenge to go to the coldest night walk. You've had challenges to be a part of what we do. But you can't do everything, but you can do something. And sometimes you can even do more than what you think you can do. And that's when you begin to step into the roles where God wants you to be. He'll never call you to something you can do on your own. He'll call you to do something that you need His help on. So I'm going to challenge you today. Do you love New Life Fellowship? Is it part of your church? Is it your church? And take ownership of it. And today, this week, we're going to pray for it. But I also want to know, I want you to know that the prayer and fasting that we do this week is just not for the church. It's also for you. What is something that you know that God is putting upon your heart, something that God is pointing to you, or maybe that you're just like, Lord, what can I be praying and fasting for something in my life? I have a challenge that I'm going to do this year, and I have something I'm going to pray and fast for. On something personal in my life. And I want to challenge you to find something too. And if you don't know what it is, just talk to the Lord. He'll let you know. Sometimes, and most of the time, He has a better one than you do. So we're going to open up the altar today. It's your church. And start the year just taking a closer step to the Lord. Because some of our plans, we've been working on some of our plans for a while now, and we just feel like we're not getting anywhere, right? It could be a financial plan that's not getting anywhere. It could be just trying to change jobs and roles that's not going anywhere. It could be I'm trying to read the Bible in a year and I never can get through it. Or, hey, I'm trying to get up earlier on Sunday to go out, and it's just not working. Maybe today you need to stop doing it in your own strength. So let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity today to just whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, maybe just that fresh start, whatever it may be.